Now, in Top of the Class, John Wilson meets a leading figure who's excelled in their particular field and takes them back to a place and the people whom they consider were instrumental to their later success. This morning, the concert violinist, Tasmin Little, returns to the Hughie Menwyn School in the Surrey countryside.
It was completely quiet. At 6:30 in the morning, we'd get up for music dictation before breakfast, and you could not hear anything at all, apart from a cuckoo. That was all you would hear. I'm a Londoner, and so to come here to the countryside was actually, it was wonderful.
For the past 20 years, Tasmin Little has been making music with the world's best orchestras. But her career began here at the Yehudi Menuhin School in Surrey when she arrived with her violin at the age of 8.
Well, the thing was that I hadn't really been learning the violin for very long, and my parents weren't musical at all. My father is an actor. And so, in fact, it was my violin teacher at my primary school who had been teaching me for less than a year, and he went to my parents and he said, Tasmin's making such amazing progress. And he said, well, I think she should try for the Yehudi Menuhin School. Thank heavens we didn't know that there were 300 applicants for 8 places, and I'd been learning less than a year.
I've come to the school today with Tasmin to meet up with her violin teacher, Pauline Scott, and her school best friend, piano student Gwara Owen.
Gwara and I, we can both see at the moment the two rooms where we spent quite a lot of our time, but we were never allowed to share, which
was very
annoying.
These are the residential blocks, then?
Yes, that's right.
For the girls, yes.
We used to have the bicycles here, so I kept my bike there.
I've got some photographs after one of the barn concerts here. In this area.
Yeah. Beautiful setting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely fantastic. Shall we have a look inside then?
Tasmin, do you remember that phone box?
So, we're going into the main entrance of the building. This is where the post was kept. So you would look for your post by that mirror there, and every morning you would hope desperately that somebody loved you enough to have written you a letter. And just from time to time you get a package as well, normally full of sweets, which was very welcome.
The Yehudi Menuhin School teaches music to exceptionally gifted children. Pupils board from the age of 8 years old. The school day starts at 6:30 in the morning, lessons end at 6:30 in the evening. Tasmin Little was there between 1973 and 1983.
I do remember arriving very, very clearly. It was a beautiful September afternoon and my parents had driven me down. My parents helped me unpack and then we went into the grounds of the school. And I went through the woods that we saw out of the window and found a treehouse. And in fact, there were a couple of pupils who were up in the treehouse. And so I went up and sort of sat in the treehouse with them. And Mum and Dad said, are you happy? And I said, yes, yes, I'm fine. And they said, well, is it right then if we go now? And I said, yes, yes, that's great. That's absolutely fine. And so off they went. And then about half an hour later, I really missed them. And then I had a little tear or two.
What were you leaving? What sort of school were you at before you came here?
I was leaving a large state primary school, New End Primary School in Hampstead, right, in London, where the class sizes were very big. There were more than 30 pupils in a class, and there were only 39 pupils in the whole Menuhin School at that time.
It must have been a big wrench to go from a big school where you had a lot of friends, where you were already involved, I presume, to be going so far away as well.
Yes, I was sad. Obviously, I had mixed feelings, but I was really excited as well. I was looking forward to being in a school where everybody played a musical instrument. I really had nobody to aspire to and nobody to look up to. So obviously, I mean, I arrived here and there were people like Nigel Kennedy, who were already at the top of the school. And I remember him playing the César Franck Sonata and praying to God that one day, if I practice very hard, please, may I play as well as that. It was a 6:30 start and I hadn't even thought to ask my parents to buy me an alarm clock. But that's how different it was. Suddenly I realised I had no parents to wake me. I was on my own. I had to do it myself.
Do you remember that notice for Tasman? Because that's where they used to put up the concerts. Do you remember when list the concerts? And also one thing, that's just come back to me actually, we used to have royal visits, and was it the Duchess of Kent? And they used to put her schedule up, and it was amazing to see how every single detail was just published on that board, and even the convenience breaks, you know.
We used to find that really hilarious, actually, in our sort of rather puerile fashion. Well, we were only about 13 or 14. This room has changed quite a lot, and this was the room that filled us with terror because this is the room where we had music dictation.
At 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
So straight out of bed, you'd literally jump out of bed and come straight to this room.
No breakfast was at eight, so we had an hour's class at seven.
So you've got to, every time a note's played, you've got to identify it and write it down immediately. It would go like this. So anyway, this room has got lots and lots of memories.
Here we are.
Pauline.
I don't remember carpet.
And this was your main practice room?
Yes, this is where I taught. Yes. But no carpet, no chaise longue, no nothing like that. It was it was a bit more basic. But it was a lovely room to teach in, actually, because it's very resonant and just a lovely atmosphere.
From the age of 14, Tasmin was taught twice a week by Pauline Scott.
She owned a piece right from the beginning, but she was absolutely willing and wanting to learn, and I could really teach her very hard. I could really go at her, if you like.
But did you foresee at that time the potential?
You can see a lot of talent in a lot of students, but right from the beginning, she'd bring her diary in order to know when to start learning a piece. She was incredibly professional and mature at that stage. She knew exactly what she wanted in the way of performance, and that was very, very unusual at that age. And I think it was this attitude of not just loving the music, not just playing musically, but it was a real integrity right from the beginning.
So here at the top of the stairs on the landing, and this is your room, Tasmin?
This was my very, very first room, and I think I was actually in here for 2 years, and I shared it with my two roommates, who were Amanda Hurton and Claire McFarlane, who were 2 years older than me. So I was 8 and they were 10, quite a big difference, but I was the baby of the school and there weren't any other girls who were anything like my age.
Well, do you want to turn that brass doorknob and see if the memories come flooding back?
I will, here we go. Wow, well, this is really, really different. My bed was on this far wall here. My chest of drawers was over here on the opposite side, and I was allocated 2 drawers for all of my clothes. And then there were my dolls.
And these windows open out straight onto what is in effect a balcony. Could you get out onto that balcony when you're allowed out there?
Oh, no health and safety problems.
I was going to say, because an 8-year-old girl here, away from home for the first time, and let loose in a bedroom that opens out onto a balcony, it's just unthinkable these days.
Yeah, John, but musicians are supposed to be relatively intelligent.
Does it hold happy memories, this room?
Or it
does. She went sobbing herself to
sleep. Oh, heavens, no. No, it was just different. I had to learn to be a bit more self-sufficient.
Mm. Incredibly young. 8 years old to be in a place like this for the first time. And to have that kind of structure as well, up at 6 o'clock in the morning, straight into rehearsals. And...
Yes, but I would qualify that by saying that it was a friendly school.
Let me ask you something about your diary. It's open there on the table in front of us, and pages of tightly packed writing. Mm. Were you encouraged to write a diary, or is this something to do with the privacy that you give up when you come to a school like this? You're 8 years old, you're immediately sharing a room with 2 other girls. Mm. You know, the schedule that you've told me about, 12, 13-hour days. Is this the place where you retreat to? Is this where you can become your true self in the pages of that diary?
Certainly, I think there was an element of needing to pour out certain stuff because I didn't have parents to pour it out to. At the beginning, it says, my diary. Anybody who reads this diary without Tasman's permission is a very nosy Parker and should feel very guilty and ashamed of themselves. Also, I may have been, this is qualifying here, I may have been in a happy, sad, miserable, angry, or romantic mood when writing my diary. So please, diary, excuse me. Oh, here we are. Okay, so I'm 14 at this point in time, and it's just before my 15th birthday. I'm really going through a funny phase at the moment. Some days things go wonderfully and I'm very happy, and at other times the whole world is upside down and everybody's mad. Plus the fact that my 15th birthday is approaching too rapidly for my liking. I don't really want to be 15. It seems such a solemn, silly age. Oh, what a contradiction. I really am mad. And another thing, sometimes I really would like to have a boyfriend to go around with and talk to, and at other times I don't want anything to do with boys, and the whole thought of them makes me feel sick. I wonder what's wrong with me. I'm so edgy and I can't seem to do anything right.
Teenage turmoil, eh?
Then I go on to worry about my figure, which I'm obviously not very happy with, and my spare tyre, which apparently I say it doesn't seem to do much else but hang over my jeans when I sit down. I'm trying to diet at the moment by cutting out my biscuits and bread, but I don't know if things are any better. So it's so impossible to diet in this place. One either starves or one gets fat, gorging on the nicer meals and eating chocolate. The toast is revolting, and we always seem to get pea soup every night. Ugh, I think I'd better go to bed before I bore you any longer with my griddly details.
You mentioned pea soup. Gwal literally recoiled from the table in recognition. There was a flood of memory there, or flood of taste came back into your mouth.
Yes, not the nicest of tastes, I don't think. And do you remember that spinach dish with the eggs? That's put me off spinach for life, I'm afraid. I never doubted that she wouldn't be one of the greatest violinists in the world, really.
When you are 7 or 8 years old, you believe that you can do whatever you want in your life. So there's no aspect of any doubt that ever creeps in. The doubt came later when I was 15 or 16 and I suddenly realised that although I'd travelled an awful long way and I got an awful lot better, there was a long way still to go. And not only that, some of the people that I had looked up to were at college or they were starting their career and it was hard. So I suddenly realised it wasn't enough to be fantastic.
Tasman and Gwa have stayed in touch despite going their separate ways. Gwa decided that a career in performance was not for her and went into music production and festival administration. Tasman has won acclaim in concert halls around the world, is now also conducting chamber orchestras and is a champion for some of the more rarely heard violin repertoire.
I think she was one of the students I had least worry about. Like any specialist school, there are drawbacks in that it is so privileged in a way that the students, I think, when they go out into the world, whether it's to a conservatoire or whatever, it's actually a real shock to the system.
Tasman always stood out, maybe not to everybody in the school at the time, but certainly to a lot of us.
What was it that kept you going? Was it encouragement from peers or from Pauline, or was it just knowing yourself that actually it was your calling, it was your destiny?
I'm not sure about destiny because I never thought of it that way. It was just so much what I wanted to do. And yes, I really do think that encouragement from Gwal and from Pauline, and that was the fantastic thing about Pauline. You know, she's somebody that always made me think to dig deeper. So you would learn a piece and then, you know, then you would go deeper and deeper and deeper. And so that was something that I felt that she gave me that I've really, really kept. Playing pieces is a lifelong process, and every time you take them out, you rethink them.
Back in October 2000, she was heavily pregnant with her first child at the time. Tasman made the journey from London, 250 miles to West Wales, to play a solo item at my wedding. I remember that forever, and that's a sign of a true friend, the effort she went to just to be there on that day.
Top of the Class with Tasman Little was presented by John Wilson. The programme was produced by Sarah Taylor. And you can hear Tasman performing live at tonight's prom concert over on BBC Radio 3. That's at 7:30.